from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
It is the best day of the week. I'm Kyle Madsen, Jesse Tapia in with me today. Jesse, I'm proud of myself. And frankly, I'm proud of James Hamm.
Why is that?
Who is still not feeling 100%.
Feel better, James.
And I said, yeah, feel better. Hopefully back tomorrow, but still TBD. And I said, dog, take a day off. For God's sakes. I know he grinds during the regular season. He's at every game. He's at every practice. And he's at the studio. And he's driving in. He drives in. And he's at the arena and then back here, and he's doing multiple hits with our show and then you guys, and it's just insane how much work he does.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the summer. Take some time off, take some time away, and he's going on vacation next week, but he wasn't feeling 100%. And you've heard him the last couple of days, he's grinding it out, and it's like, my man.
Blue game, James.
Take a day off. Take a day. We got it. It's July 11. We've got some stuff to get to, sure. But take a day, and
if
you know what?
If there's ever a time to take a day off to, it is literally July.
Right. Middle of July, we're coming up on the MLB All-Star break. Mm-hmm. It's like, and shout out to my mans. He said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to take a day. I'm going to rest. I'm going to get right. And like I said, hopefully he's back tomorrow, but salute to you for hanging out with me.
Yes, sir.
And not making people listen to just me for 2 hours.
No, it's all good. Yesterday, no, you're like about 4:30, like, hey, you're in tomorrow? Cool. All right.
Dude, just, hey, call to the bullpen. We're all set. Got some Kings California Classic action to get to. Of course, Team USA played last night. An interesting note from ESPN on DeMar DeRozan's contract that we will also talk about. I was going to say something at the top, and I can't. No, best day of the week is Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a big Tuesday guy.
That's weird. No chance.
Tuesday's cool.
That's no not chance the best you're
day
a Tuesday
week.
Guy.
I'm Tuesday.
Tuesday's the worst day of the week.
Well, no, because it gets me closer to like Wednesday, and like Wednesday is like halfway there. It's like farther away from Monday, if that makes sense.
See, but Monday...
I'm all about making progress.
I disagree hardcore with that.
Friday is the best day, though. Because it's like, that's the funnest
that's
day
it.
To be on
Friday,
radio.
Friday...
Like, we play on the radio or whatever, do our little shtick, talk sports or whatever. It's just like, all right, now we're just hanging out.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Friday has the best argument for weekday, for best weekday, for sure. Because, yeah, especially in this job, it's... Hey, Friday shows are just a thing. It's like, that's a Friday, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's why I like Thursday so much, because Thursday you come in, you get a good show, and you get some good work in, and then it's just, we're coasting.
I get that.
Friday, basically a weekend day.
That's fine. That's fair. Whatever. Sunday sucks.
Sunday's the worst day. Dude, there's nothing worse than waking up on a Sunday, like, man, I got nothing to do today. Oh, man, I got to work tomorrow.
And then Sunday's cool during football season up until about 8:30 p.m.
Yeah, for me, it's halftime of Sunday Night Football.
That's fair.
Halftime hits, and it's Maria Taylor and like Rodney Harrison and Tony Dungy. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
No disrespect to them. It's not them. It's just the halftime is
just a signal. It's dude,
I got
an end
I got hour and a half of football left, and then it's just I got nothing. I got to go to bed, and I got to work tomorrow.
I got to go to bed. That's
I got to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Dude, I was Juan Toscano-Anderson last night tweeted about how now that he's 31, how he understands like how bad sleep deprivation is.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're in college, it doesn't... dude, in college, I was like, hey, in bed at 5 a.m. I got class at 8:30, so I'm up at 8. Hand me a Red Bull, let's go.
It's kind of crazy. That needs to be studied. Just the recovery times.
Dude, it's nutty.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be right, like give me 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm good. If I take a nap in the middle of the day,
we're set.
I may not sleep for 2 days. Like we're good, dude. And I think that's partially because at that point in my life, I still drink a lot of caffeine. Don't get it twisted, but mm-hmm. I drank like no water. I was all soda all the time.
Yeah.
This is before I got into coffee. It was just like walking to class, grab a Coke. After class, I'm waiting. I'm going to walk down to the Riverfront Center, Riverfront Cafe.
Yeah, around there, yeah.
You know where, Mendocino Hall at Sac State? There's that. I'll go in there. I'm sure it looks different now than it did. It looked like kind of a dive bar when I went to school there. And you go in, get a Coke, some curly fries, let's go. Hanging out. After class, back to my room, Coke. Like, that was just it. Like, that's how I did it. And so I think it was just, I was just constantly caffeinated.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's wild. Everybody says like you turn 30 and it everything hits the fan. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Like now I got 6 hours of sleep last night ish. I'm playing with five fouls all day.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm up against it. I need at least 7 hours at least.
But you're not 30 yet.
I'm not. I'm 2 years away.
Yeah. So you're still good on like 6 hours, 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, puppy wakes up a little early sometimes.
But that's why, dude, when I was doing my stuff in 98 Rock with the morning show down there, and I was waking up.
That was wild, the fact that you were doing that, too.
Yeah, man. It was alarm. If you're not familiar with how I got started here, basically I got in answering phones at 98 Rock and then did this separately. Salute to Mendo. Salute to Mendocino Hall. If anybody went to Sac State, they've had at least a class at Mendo.
That's also the world's hottest building, too.
Insane. I don't think it has AC.
That's facts, dude. I'm going in the winter sweating. I got to take off my flannel, my sweater, just there in a t-shirt. It's raining outside, but inside it's like 95 degrees.
No AC, 10 furnaces. Yeah. Like, we're cranking it up. It's going to be 104 inside.
Oh, that built you up. That built you up if you went to Mendocino.
Yeah, you're in the trenches.
Yeah.
But I would wake up at like 3:30 in the morning, out my door by 4, got to be here by 5:30 or so. I commute a long time too. In here by 5:30. But then I have like other jobs. I got like side gigs that I'm doing. So I'm up till 10 o'clock every night and not going to bed, not falling asleep until like 11 o'clock or after.
Yeah, that's tough.
And dude, it was just, I was Wednesday, full-blown survival mode every single week. You're like, how you doing? I'm like, I hope to trying to get to Friday.
I'm here, okay? What more do you want from me?
I'm around. I did a show. What do you want? It's nuts as how true the stuff about like, yeah, you turn 30 and then every year after that, just something is harder. Something is more difficult.
Yeah, I'm 2 years away. Can't wait.
It's
so I got to get like my pickup basketball games in before then. Or?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. 1000%. Right. Pick up basketball, pick up soccer, whatever it is that you want to do. Hey, that was kind of fire at field day, by the way.
That was
having a soccer ball.
No, I texted the boys like anytime you guys come to Sacramento, like we have a spot now.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, so we're at the Andy Morin Sports Complex, and we did our field day in the indoor soccer pitch.
Yeah.
And there it was great. It was a really fun time, but at one point, Kevin from our sister station, the Wake Up Call, he went over and he got checked out a basketball and a soccer ball.
Mm-hmm.
They got basketball courts there. They got like batting cages. It was crazy. It was such a cool spot. And we rolled out a soccer ball at one point, and we were just kicking. It was you, me, James. James got some skills.
He does.
James can play a little bit. Move. James still got it. Rich, our sales guy, was kicking it around. Karosh, another sales guy, was in there. Kicking it around. We had a really, really good Chris Rice,
yeah.
Our audio guy, We had a really good time doing that. And now all I want to do is just roll out a soccer ball and go kick it around.
I'm telling you, as well as telling you how field is. Like, you brought out the balls. Like, what are we doing? Are we passing it around? What's going on?
That's what, dude, we did.
Yeah.
We just couldn't, we were trying to participate as well.
That was tough. We hit the boss with the ball too.
Dude, that was really bad. Yeah. That was a tough
one. Yeah, we hit the guy.
Hey, do you think that he noticed?
Noticed that we hit him?
Yeah, do you think he knew what it was that hit him? Because I ninja'd the ball behind me quick.
You did, because he was like, yeah, whatever you guys are doing, do more of it or do less of it. Like, he was kind of just not sure what was going on, but I'm sure he was fine with the enthusiasm.
Yeah, he got hit with the soccer ball, and we finessed it behind our backs, and he didn't notice. We got to talk about the California Classic.
Shout out Keon Ellis.
Yeah, Keon Ellis, 30 points last night on 21 shots. The Kings did lose to the Warriors 91-90, but a surprisingly fun game.
Yeah, yeah.
I sat here yesterday on the radio, and this is why being on the radio is tough. Because you give takes that people hear. And I sat here last night, or yesterday, and Charlie even got on the air and was like, this sucks that this game is in San Francisco, and that the Kings are doing a split squad. This is dumb. And then I said that the whole trophy thing was dumb, and I hated it that they were doing it this way, where it's Warriors, Kings, and that's how they're going to wrap up the Cal Classic. Like, this is all so silly.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The Warriors go up 21 midway through that game. It's like, see, this is all so stupid. Like, none of this matters. But then the Kings made it a game.
Comeback Kings.
They make it a game. And then the Warriors stretch the lead back out to 13 with 5 minutes to go. And the Kings just chip away, get a stop, hit a three, get a stop, get a layup, and one. Mason Jones tied the game. It was thrilling.
No, Kings Summer League is lit, actually. Like, if you're really into it, because I remember, Chad Yelts can help me remember. I don't remember what year it was exactly, but I think it was the Davion Mitchell year where Peyton Pritchard goes to the pro-am or whatever and comes back. Like, that championship game was fire just because, like, that Davion was locking up. Yeah, like King Summer League does get lit.
Yeah, that was it. Peyton Pritchard had played in a bunch of pro-ams and scored, 80 points.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, and then Davion, who came in his off night, showed why. That was, man, shout out to Summer League. Had a great time watching the Cal Classic last night. There was some things I think that of course, the Kings losing 91, doesn't matter. Doesn't go on the record.
Yeah.
Performances, bad or otherwise, not going to define anybody's career. But there were a few things, a few takeaways that you and I had from that game, particularly with Keon Ellis.
Yes,
that I think we want to dive into. Before we do that, though, the one guy I want to highlight, and then we can get into some of these other players. I am all the way in on Isaac Jones, undrafted rookie from Washington State. I'm just all in on a big athlete who goes for 8-6-8 last night, doesn't shoot it often or particularly well, so I don't think he's ever going to be like a starting stretch four in the NBA, but one of the pieces for the Kings that we've talked about them needing, and let me say this up front, I don't think it's going to be this year.
Yeah.
But over the next year or two, if you get him in this system where we saw Keon Ellis in year two really break out, I really like Isaac Jones as a future backup four, small ball five for the Kings. And he flashed a little bit in their Cal Classic opener, and I thought he was really, really effective last night.
I don't hate that. I mean, that's what the Stockton Kings are for.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you got the undrafted guy or whatever, develop him, and then maybe in a couple of years he can give you some real NBA minutes.
Yeah, and I think he's going to spend a ton of time in Stockton this year, but he's a player with the Stockton Kings that I'm going to have
to really
close eye on.
Is that your guy this season? Like, last year was Colby Jones, right?
Yeah, that's my guy.
All right.
We got to talk about Colby Jones a little bit. But Isaac Jones, that's my guy. Isaac Jones, Hive, we are in the building. He is the official Stockton King of the Insiders.
Let's go.
This year. We have made that determination already. We'll see how he does in Summer League down in Vegas, which starts tomorrow. We'll talk about that a little more tomorrow. But more takeaways from the Cal Classic, including one big regular season takeaway that I think kind of solidified itself last night. And I think you and I agree on it. We'll talk about the incentives in DeMar DeRozan's contract. We'll talk about Team USA beating Team Canada, and we'll also talk about villains in sports because there's an interesting clip I've been wanting to play that we got to play as well. That's Jesse Tapia filling in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, the producers.
Yes, sir.
Today on The Insiders, we are brought to you by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I guess I'll leave.
It's Jesse Tapia and Kyle Madsen. Jesse filling in for James. James on the IL today. Hopefully getting him back tomorrow. That's how you know I've been writing a lot about baseball. I called it the IL.
Yeah, yeah.
The injured list.
I'm still a DL guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It took me a while, but I'm there now. Now that I'm writing it, it just that like you just heard it. It just came out. He's on IR.
Yeah, get some IR is a good one too. Get some rest, James. If you're watching, close the computer.
I hope he's not. I hope he's doing literally anything else.
Throw on the office or something,
bro. Yeah. Do that. Yeah, when we golf, we were talking about golf at the break. And if you want to hang out with us at the break, visit youtube.com/ESPN1320. When we go to commercial on the radio, we just chat with the chatty house. So hang out there. If you're listening on the radio or the Odyssey app, we appreciate that.
Shout out to the radio people.
But we're talking about golfing. And I like to go golfing. I've got some injury stuff that I deal with, but I reached a point where I broke 100 for the first time. I was golfing pretty often. I was going to the range and I finally broke 100. But then I had this knee and hip thing that forced me to not play as much.
Yeah.
So now my golf is 4 or 5 times a year. I just go play. And I used to hate it. And by the 7th green, I was like, I don't want to play anymore. I want to go home.
Yeah. Sarah Hodges came on from CBS 13. She came on with KC yesterday. And she's talking about it takes a couple hours to like play a full 18 or whatever. I don't think I could do that.
Bro, a couple hours? That's if you're great.
Okay. So maybe she said 4. I might have got it mixed up.
Yeah. Four to five, depending on pace. Okay,
yeah, I think it
might
have been 4, she said.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So, and it's fine. Like, what I did was I stopped keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds insane because of how we are about sports in this country. But I just don't, because I don't practice. I'm not going to get better. I'm going to shoot a 115.
You're just out there to vibe out with the guys.
That's it. I'm there to be the vibes guy.
Yeah.
So I try. I really do. And if one of my buddies is like, hey, on that swing you did X, try this. I will try stuff. I'm out there to practice hitting shots. Mm. It's basically a range session for me, but with the homies.
Yeah.
Right? And my friends are all good at golf. I golf with Chris Biederman, Nick Wagner from ESPN, good golfer, my buddy Nate. Good golfer. So I like, they're good. They're out there working, like trying.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the need to try. But at the same time, I don't want to bring the vibe down because I'm mad.
Yeah.
So now I've reached a point where, all right, hey, I'm on my 6th shot. I'm 50 yards from the green. And I'm going to take this, this wedge and I'm going to try and get it on the green. Oh, thinned it. I am 50 yards past the green. That used to make me mad because that walk across the green after you've just thinned your shot where you have to go hit the same shot, but now from the other side is one of the worst parts of golf.
Yeah.
While all your friends are standing there, like lining up their putts and you're like trudging across.
What's up, guys?
Like, hey, I'm going to go over here. So I said, this is dumb. I'm not going to get any better at this game because I don't work at it. I'm here to vibe. So when I hit that shot 50 yards past the green, I'm going to go to my cart, I'm going to grab my beer, and I'm going to stand there on the green with my friends and compliment their putting.
See, and that's probably why you keep getting invited back to golf, too, because you play your role well.
That's right. Yeah. I'm not a good golfer, but I feel like I'm a really, really good vibes guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's on that.
Everyone needs that.
Yeah. All right. I could talk about this all day, but I'm not going to. The Cal Classic finale last night. The Kings fall to the Warriors 91-90. And James and I talked about this yesterday, and I think everybody who watches sports even a little bit is on the same page here. Preseason doesn't mean a lot.
Nope.
There's going to be overreactions. There are going to be takes. But ultimately, you can go undefeated in the preseason and be sub-500 in the regular season because that's just how it works sometimes.
Yep. Shout out to the Detroit Lions. I think in the NFL, they went undefeated in the preseason for how long, and then they went like 0-16 that 1 year.
Yes. Yeah, and I think the Patriots went 0-4. Like every year, they won the Super Bowl in the preseason. Like that stuff, it just doesn't matter that much, right?
Yeah.
Kings won summer league in Davion Mitchell's rookie year and didn't.
We'll have fun with that on Twitter,
right? Right, it's a fun internet thing
to
celebrate and enjoy it for sure. It's basketball. It's there. You want to see your team win, totally. But what we saw from Keon Ellis last night was one of those things that I think you can circle. And I said this to James yesterday. You want to take notes, but not draw conclusions.
Yeah.
However, what we saw from Keon Ellis yesterday in the Kings loss, where he goes for 30 points on 21 shots, that was the kind of performance to me that I think you can put on wax as, oh, there has been development here with Keon Ellis's game over the last 4 or 5 months. And that's a really good sign because he was He had the ball on his hands a lot. He was creating off the dribble. He was shooting off the dribble. He was taking catch and shoots. He was just kind of an all-around offensive weapon for these Summer League Kings. Mm. And this isn't to say I think he's going to go score 30 a night.
Yeah, he's not getting 21 shots with all those guys on the team. Yeah.
Right, right. But that's not the point.
Oh, yeah.
The point isn't that he's going to produce like that. And that's where the preseason Summer League hiccup comes in, or that becomes a factor. Because the expectation is not that Keon Ellis is going to do that on a night-in, night-out basis. But Keon Ellis as a secondary ball handler now feels a little bit more realistic.
Well, I think also when you see him kind of dominating against these other summer leaguers or whatever, like, it kind of just reinforces what mm-hmm. we saw going in towards the last season or whatever.
Yeah, he looked like an NBA player.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's like, because we say like summer league's kind of meaningless or whatever as far as like results, but like, you can pick your player and see like, okay, how's this guy doing? And kind of like that matters and stuff like that too. And I feel like Keon's kind of stepped up, like I said, just reinforced what we've all thought about him.
Yeah, and Spencer brings this up in the chatty house. Keon had some bad fouls. He did have the bad foul at the end of the game on Brandon Pajemski with like 5 seconds left.
Yeah.
Pajemski's handling. They double him. Keon shoots for the steal, doesn't get it, draws a foul. Pajemski hits a free throw. Kings end up losing. But that's where I don't care.
Well, yeah, like I texted you last night. I was like, how many times is Keon going to be closing the games this year in the regular season?
And
like,
even if
he's not probably not going to be, that's probably not going to happen.
Let's say he is. Mm-hmm. Let's say that every fear that people have brought up about DeMar DeRozan's defense comes true. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, the Kings can't exist with him and De'Aaron and Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis on the floor at the same time. It just doesn't work. Okay, great. And Keon Ellis is closing games for whoever. Let's just go there for a second. A, I think you feel okay about that because now you've seen him be able to create a little bit where he's functional with the ball in his hands, which I think he can be in the NBA. But B, you're not going to see him shoot for that steal in a regular season game where it's 90-90.
Yeah.
And there's 5 seconds left. He's not, I don't think he's doing that. That's a spot where, hey, it's preseason. He's got 30. He's going to try and make a play here. You don't want it to go to overtime. You're not playing for overtime.
There's a spot to do it. It's there.
Yeah.
If you're going to try, do it here in the summer league or whatever.
Yeah, because look, he's shooting for that steal because look, there's 5 seconds left. So there's two outcomes here. One, he fouls him and the Kings will have a chance to tie or win the game based on the free throws. Even if Pajemski hits both, the Kings can win it with a three with 5 seconds left. He ended up missing one of them and the Kings got a look at the end of the game to try and win it and they didn't. But they had a shot there. Or the second outcome is he gets the steal and he goes up and has a game-winning layup. Yeah. But overall, they don't go to overtime, which is like, thank you. Thank you for not going to OT.
That right.
Yeah. So I was impressed by Keon in the entire California Classic. I don't need to see him down in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. He's solidified as far as an NBA player and all that.
Yeah,
I don't think anything he does in Vegas is going to change anything.
Yeah, and I think, I for me, I don't know where you land on this, but for me, as of right now, he's your starting two.
Yes, he absolutely should be. No matter, like, I know Malik wants to start and all of that, but honestly, I think Malik is best off the bench on this team, and I think you can get the most out of Keon Ellis if he's starting and getting De'Aaron Fox to send him, DeMar DeRozan to send him up. Like, I think he's best off as the starting two.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. If he has to create a little bit, that's fine. But we saw it last year. I think we saw it last night and really throughout the California Classic that he is at minimum adequate shooter.
Yeah.
Where teams have to guard him. Mm-hmm. That's it. That is with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray and DeMar DeRozan on the floor, with assuming Keon Ellis is the starting two, his job is make the other team defend you. Make them think about you. Make it so they can't hide their worst defender on you because, yeah, you're not going to do anything. And to me, he's proven that.
I think he could do that easy.
Yeah, and now you get Malik Monk running the second unit. It allows you to keep your rotations largely the same as they were last year. Again, they're going to get tweaked a little bit.
Yeah.
But that is where, A, I think you're maximizing what Malik Monk does. And B, I think you're maximizing what Keon Ellis does.
And that's the biggest thing too, because now the Kings are at a point where you have a lot of talent on this team, so it's not just a matter of throw it all on the floor. Like, you have to put people in position where, all right, mm-hmm. we're gonna maximize Keon, we're gonna maximize Malik, maximize DeMar now and all that. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. they got work to do.
And I think that's gonna be it wouldn't surprise me at all if this is a point of frustration throughout the year, mm-hmm. where Mike Brown is kind of mixing and matching. I think he'll probably largely stick with the same starting five all year, yeah. barring, you know, injury or barring some epic failure of some kind where they're starting this five and they lose seven in a row, so they're going to mix it up. But I think it's largely going to be the same starting five. But last year, we saw him mix and match with his rotations a lot. And I think you're going to see that again this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And through most of the regular season, trying to see who fits with who, because if this is going to be a playoff team, you're going to need to mix and match in the playoffs, and you're going to have to play matchups.
Yep.
So I think we'll see that throughout the year. But for me right now, and I'm with you, right here on July 11th, Keon Ellis is your starting two.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to change either.
Yeah, and I feel pretty good about that. Unless they go get a starting caliber four.
Yeah.
Like, in which case,
we'll put a little asterisk on the TBD. We'll see what happens.
We'll keep talking about this. We'll talk about DeMar DeRozan's contract incentives and a couple other things from the Cal Classic last night. Plus, Team USA beats Team Canada to kick off their Team USA showcase heading into the Olympics. We'll talk about that as well. He's Jesse Toppy. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
As the producers today, Jesse Tapia filling in for James Hamm, everybody's favorite radio segment coming up here in a bit, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to jump in on the conversation, should Keon Ellis be the Kings starting two guard this year? Jesse says yes, I say yes. I think the take I'm even more firm on than Keon starting, because I think to me there's an argument to be made for for Malik Monk to start. I think the thing I'm most firm on is Kevin Huerter not starting.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, Kyle.
What?
I'm not sure what Kevin Huerter's role is going to be.
I don't either.
Yeah, I'm not sure what his role is.
If he has one
or what.
Yeah, and I get... I think the theory behind starting him would be Fox is really good defensively. Keegan's really good defensively. You can stick Huerter on somebody and you hope DeMar DeRozan can be a replacement level defender and call it good. But
I don't see why you do that since you have Keon.
Yeah, man.
I think Keon just fits better and he defends better at this point. That's probably what you need more.
Yeah,
Keon can defend. He can spot up, shoot the three or whatever as well.
With the way they, and again, I know that how the league was calling games in the second half of last year, post All-Star break last year, played a role in the Kings' defensive numbers. But I don't think you can underrate the impact that just having Keon Ellis on the floor had.
Yeah, and it's not that I think Kevin Huerter is a bad player or anything like that. He's got a spot in the league, no doubt. He can shoot the rock, all that stuff. But I'm not sure where his role is here now.
Yeah, I that's it. If he was going to be a player who would say, yeah, I'm fine being the fifth option when I'm on the floor, mm-hmm. and I'll hang out in the corner and I'll shoot 42% from three,
yeah,
then cool. But I think that's not using the scope of his game mm-hmm. Fully. And B, I don't blame him for looking at a role like that and going, no, I'm better than that.
Yeah, and I think he is too.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. But when you see what this team needs defensively and you see what they have defensively, Kenny and I talked about this the other day on the handoff. Defense matters. It's not the end all be. It doesn't matter enough that you're going to be like, wow, the DeMar DeRozan signing's bad because defense.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But it does matter. And when Kevin Huerter was on the court, he just got targeted again and again and again, and that doesn't fly with what... If the Kings had Rudy Gobert at center, or Victor Wembanyama, or pick your favorite defensive player, then sure, maybe it's a little different. But the Kings, at this point, they need as much perimeter defense as they can get, and Kevin Huerter, he tries. I don't think he has the facilities for that. So, I'm with you. I don't know exactly what his role is, but... I don't think it's the Kings starting two guard.
Yeah, no.
Which is why I think at some point he will be on his way out of Sacramento. And if he's not, I hope he finds a role that's
he's not, knock down the three ball and we'll all be friends.
Yep, that's it. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. There's one caveat to the Keon Ellis starting thing that I want to get to. But first, we got to get to Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's up, man?
How's it going, Kyle? Jesse?
Doing all right, bud.
How you guys doing?
Doing well. What do you got?
I think we can have 10 guys. Doesn't matter who starts. Nobody plays too many minutes. And Keon has definitely deserved to start. I mean, excellent day. You got enough scores, I think. And we get another guy. Super. One guy, not including this guy, though. I would love to see him get Kuzma. That's asking a lot. Even Cam. But how about just to be a backup center, keep the bench warm for the main guys? Until he wants to make an effort to be a good player. Ben Simmons.
Oh, come on,
his career is messed
come on,
up.
Mitch. All right. Appreciate you. That's a bridge too far for me.
If they buy out Ben Simmons and he wants to come play for the minimum, sure, Ben. Sure.
No, look, I don't want to get into the whole Ben Simmons thing.
Ben Simmons is, it's not a thing, like I said, unless they buy him out or we can talk about whatever.
If you get Ben Simmons on a vet min and he's going to be the idealized version of Ben Simmons, then sure. But there is zero evidence to say he's going to be that player, so I'm out.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
I'm all the way out. Mm-hmm. Now, the Kuzma thing is interesting, and that's what I wanted to get to. Don, I see you on the line. Hang in there for us. That's the caveat to me of Keon Ellis starting. If the Kings go get Kyle Kuzma, which James Hamm, Kings beat, the insiders, has reported that they are now, they're not done. They're still exploring the trade market, including with Kyle Kuzma. And if you're going to bring him in to be your starting four, and you're going to move DeMar DeRozan to the two, and and Keegan Murray back to the three, then I think Keon Ellis is coming off the bench.
No, we're on the same page with that. Yeah, and that, Keon just goes to the bench with Malik, and
and I think everybody would be fine with that. But that that's the caveat. Yeah. But as constructed right now, Keon Ellis is starting too.
Well, I'm with you.
Great. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the insider. Should Keon Ellis be the Kings' starting two guard?
So I'm not sure if you've got me here. Is this me? Because my name's not Don. It's Lewis. But,
Lewis, I'm sorry about that. Our call screener got it wrong. What's up, bud?
He's new, bud.
No. So, oh, my gosh. Now, I know we're not trying to say, now, Keon Ellis is the starter, not Malik Monk. Can we just take a step back, please, and step away from the Greg Popovich Kool-Aid, right? He's the only coach in history who's ever said, you know, my third best player, Manu Ginobili, I'm going to bring him off the bench. But he had Tim Duncan. He had Tony Parker. And it worked. They got some rings. Got it. Coach Brown was right there with him. He was under that tutelage. In our scheme here, until yesterday or until 3 days ago when we got DeMar, Malik was our third best player. Mm-hmm. Why would we ever put ourselves in a position where we're putting out five players and our third best isn't out there? He played only 24 minutes per game last season. And I'm talking about Malik. So here's what I'm saying. Why, Lord, wouldn't we have Fox, Malik Monk, Fox, who's an all-star, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, who's an all-star, Keegan Murray, who's an up-and-coming USA Select player, and Domas Sabonis, who's an all-star player, Malik being the six-man candidate of the year. You know what I see? I see us going being ahead 5 to 10 points at the end of the first quarters instead of being behind by 10. You know what I mean? And I don't.
Look, did he – real quick, Lewis, appreciate the call. Sorry for the confusion with the Don thing. Did he call Malik Monk the sixth man of the year as a
believe he did, Kyle.
Maybe. Look, I get no, and here's the thing, and I don't wanna I disagree with Lewis. I don't hate his point though. I don't think it's insane. Because that's right. You want your best five players on the court. I totally get what he's saying. And he brought up Malik's minutes from last year. That is a thing that I believe the Kings need to change. I think Malik Monk needs to come off the bench, but I also think he needs to be playing more minutes. I think you need to shorten the rotation that has Keon Ellis starting to get Malik Monk in the game for longer stretches, where you're now getting him 30-plus minutes a night, and I think he should be closing games. I think that's a perfectly valid thing.
We're not going to come in here acting like Keon Ellis starting this what are we doing type of thing, because it's not.
Yeah, like, I think there's a perfectly valuable role that Keon Ellis has as a starter.
Yeah,
where you can take some of what did we talk about last year with Keegan and his shooting percentage dipping? Said, man, that defensive onus really got to him. I think he'll be in better shape this after this offseason now that he knows, you know, kind of what the rigors of a 82 game season look like as the team's primary perimeter defender and one of the guys they're relying on to be a scorer. I think he will improve in that area for sure this year.
Yeah.
But if you can take even a little bit off of his plate defensively to start games, Lewis said that Keegan Murray is an ascending player. He's on Team USA Select and I agree. I think you can get him to ascend at a faster pace if you are taking Keon Ellis and saying, hey, Keegan, instead of chasing Donovan Mitchell around, Keon, you're going to do it. Uh-huh. Keegan, instead of chasing Steph Curry around, Keon, you're going to do that to start the game.
Yeah. Well, it's like we say, too, it's about maximizing everyone's talents. Like, I get the whole, start your best five or whatever, but are you maximizing everyone at that point?
Yeah, I don't hate the Malik Monk starting argument.
Lewis did say, though, like, he did bring up a point, like, Malik does need to play more minutes this season, though.
I could not agree more with that.
I still think he should come off the bench, but he only played 26 minutes per game last season. Like, that's got to be up. He's got to be up at least 30.
Yeah, give me 30 again. That's one extra minute a quarter.
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly feasible.
Yeah.
And I think if Mike Brown were sitting here right now, I could probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
So that is something I expect to see this year.
Yeah, I disagree with Lewis on Malik needs to start, but I do agree he needs to play way more.
Bang, bang. You and I, same page. Appreciate the call, Lewis. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Who should be the king starting two guard? Keon Ellis, 30 points last night in the California Classic finale on 21 shots. Let me wrap this up real quick, and then we can get to the DeMar DeRozan contract stuff. Mason Jones last night, 12 points, 11 boards, 7 assists. I like Mason Jones so much.
He's intriguing because he can put it in the bucket.
But here's my issue. I need Mason Jones to be 4 inches taller.
All right, well,
that's it. Like, that's where I can't, like, yeah. That's where my excitement about him has a ceiling. A, because we've seen him in the NBA. I don't think this is some all-star in waiting. I don't want it to come across like that. And playing well in the California Classic and in Summer League does not mean, oh my God, you need to get him on the roster. But I do think that if Mason Jones was having the exact same, everything was exactly the same that he's done in the Cal Classic so far, and what he did last season and whatever he does in Summer League, I think that if he was doing all of that but was 6'8", I think there'd be a really, really strong case to put him on the roster.
Yeah.
And, like, he needs to be playing minutes.
Because he's got game, but maybe he's just not big enough.
That's what I think it is. There's a logjam of players at the guard spot. And I don't, we'd say, what's Kevin Herter's role? I would have the same question with Mason Jones.
Yeah.
But I was overall very impressed with him, not only just his look and how he's reshaped his body, but just how he played. I thought he was really good. Second thing, Colby Jones last night, 12 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists. I like Colby Jones a lot, but part of me wonders if his value to the Kings is more as a trade chip down the line.
I'm not sure how much of a trade, like how much value he has and stuff like that. Like what do you attach him to and stuff? But yeah, I think because at this point, like I don't think he's going to develop into someone who's getting like minutes and all that. Once Devin Carter's shoulder heals up and all that, I'm sure we'll expect him to be out there and all that.
Yeah, and again, this is not a Colby Jones problem. I didn't think he was very good early in the Cal Classic, but I thought he was really good last night, especially down the stretch as they were coming back. He had the ball in his hands a lot.
Yeah,
was making plays. Was not just out there putting the ball on the deck and like, yeah, I'm gonna go get my shots. He's playing the right way, and that's always been the thing with Colby Jones. He knows what to do. He's just a hooper. Like he knows what to be doing. He's gonna make the right play, and I think that's part of the thing that makes him so intriguing. But it comes back to the Mason Jones thing. The guard setup here is
Kings have a lot of good players at the guard spot.
Yeah, it's kind of that's just kind of what it is. It's mm-hmm. kind of locked in, and I don't know that Colby Jones is going to be a player that can go give you minutes at the three, and certainly not at the four.
Yeah, well, like you said, I think at this point it probably helps you more in a trade rather than being on the court the next couple of years.
Which is tough because I like Colby Jones a lot.
Yeah, I think
he's going to be a good player. Last one. We talked a little bit about Isaac Jones, but that's a guy I'm circling this year in Stockton.
All right, keep an eye on Isaac Jones then.
Yeah.
Isaac Jones fan club.
That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, the producers edition of the Insiders today. James Hamm taking a day. Hopefully he will be back tomorrow. Stay locked into Twitter for updates on that. ESPN dropped a piece today about off-season moves, signings, and they had some intriguing contract details about DeMar DeRozan's deal with the Kings. Is a 3-year deal, $74.6 million, almost $75 million with a partial guarantee in the third year.
Yeah,
but this is where it's interesting. So he gets try and follow me. He gets a one. I say try and follow me. This might be one of those things that's only complicated to me.
Like, we'll see.
Follow me, Everett. Everyone's we'll like, see yeah, we're no, lost we got at the end it. Of this. So, he gets a $1 million bonus each season. If he is named to the All-Star team, whether it's starter, replacement, reserve, whatever, if DeMar DeRozan is an All-Star, he gets $1 million extra. That's through the first 3 years. He also has $10 million of his $25.7 million is guaranteed in the last year of his contract, okay?
Gotcha.
He has $10 million guaranteed of roughly $26 million in the final year.
Write that down, Chatty House.
But if he's named to an All-Star team in either 2024 or 2025, or I guess 25 or 26, so the first 2 years of the deal, if he's named to an All-Star team, his protection increases to $12 million. So the guarantee goes up $2 million in the third year. It goes up to $14 million if he's an all-star in both of the first two seasons. Now, that third year becomes fully guaranteed if he plays at least 60 regular season games and the Kings make the finals in either of the first 2 years.
Let's get that third year fully guaranteed because we know what that means. We know what that means.
That's what we're looking for. We're hoping that DeMar DeRozan gets that fully guaranteed third year.
I'm going to take a time machine like 3 years from now. Hey, did DeMar's final year get guaranteed? Yes, Jess, it did. I'm going to go back.
We're set. Yeah, I think that deal is just super indicative of what the DeMar DeRozan signing is for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Where, yep, good value, even better value if he makes an all-star team, so you're going to kick him a little extra money. And hey, if everything just goes right, Keegan's development skyrockets, and Keon Ellis becomes just this awesome two-way guy, and Devin Carter heals up and is this really good energy piece for the Kings, and DeMar is great still, and De'Aaron's an all-NBA guy, and Domas is an all-NBA guy, and the Kings are just cooking in the West.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, the DeMar DeRozan signing, which got a D- from CBS.
Sam Quinn. Just, we didn't forget.
Hey, power rankings of media enemies at ESPN 1320.
Oh, Kevin O'Connor is number one.
Kevin O'Constantinople.
No. Coffee Boy might be number one.
I think Coffee Boy's one.
That feels, yeah.
Because Kevin O'Contact Lens still gets like his first name.
Yeah, he does.
And it's like the last name, Coffee Boy is crazy.
Yeah.
So Coffee Boy 1.
We'll go Kevin O'Connor 2.
Okay.
Tim Bontemps catches a lot of heat on the station. I'm
Bontemps?
Not, yeah, he does. We'll go. I think Bontemps is in there. Sam Quinn. I don't know. Like, what's your beef, bro?
I think
we don't even know you. Like, what's your issue, bro? Like, what's the problem? D minus,
like,
really?
Like Sam Quinn just got stuck at the Sacramento airport one time on a connecting flight to Seattle.
Sam seems like a nice guy. I don't want beef with Sam or whatever. Like, what's wrong?
I think he's got to be four right now. I'm sure. I mean, no, you know who's four? He might even be three. Hollinger.
Oh, yeah.
Hollinger talks crazy about the Kings a lot. Although, I liked what he said about the DeMar trade.
Oh, well, we got to throw Gilbert Arenas in there, too.
Oh, Gilbert Arenas. Hey, you know what? No, I'm out. I'm out on that.
We're not?
Gilbert Arenas does not count to me.
Okay. Yeah,
Gilbert Arenas is... I don't give a...
Shun.
I don't give a rip what Gilbert Arenas has.
All right, I'm with that, then.
All right. Very good. I liked what John Hollinger said about the DeMar trade, because he basically said kind of what we've been saying, like, yeah, this probably solidifies them as a playoff team. Probably this move alone doesn't get them to championship contention, but at least they're freaking trying.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good team that's on the cusp, so they went out and got a really freaking good player, and they're gonna see how it works. And it's like, yeah, hey, salute, like that. I don't think every team in the NBA would have done that.
Yeah, I can't lie, though. Like, I feel like I like the DeMar DeRozan thing, like signing more and more each day. Like, I really think this is going to be something this year. And not just because of that, but like, now you got Malik, you got De'Aaron, like, you have guys now.
I think I like the DeMar signing more every day because of, like, spite.
What do you mean?
Because everything that we heard about it nationally, for the most part, again, Hollinger was like, I think Hollinger had a good take on it for the most part. But then you get Sam Quinn from CBS and D-, and ESPN's giving it a C+. Mm. And there's all this talk about, like, oh, but their defense, and how are they going to defend, and this and that. And it's so frustrating because I understand that I'm of two minds here.
Yeah.
One, it's really hard to cover an entire league. It just is. I know it's people's jobs, and they need to, I think, for the most part, do a better job. But I'm not stunned if national media person X doesn't know Keon Ellis and his impact on the Kings defense last year.
Yeah, that's fair, but I feel like with the Kings, like, they talk as if they just don't watch at all.
But
like, it's just blind. I don't think they do that for all the teams, is what I'm saying.
No, right. And that's just it, right? They're gonna focus on the teams that get them clicks.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be it. But on the other hand, if you're going to write a piece about the moves this offseason, or if you have been assigned at whatever, like, hey, we need a grade for the DeMar DeRozan trade, then deep dive a little.
Well, yeah, there's stats out there that tell you the Kings were about average on defense last year, whatever, like, and just the fact that you think DeMar DeRozan's coming here, oh, what about the defense? Like, bro, that's a conversation maybe 2 years ago we could have had, but that's just not the case. The numbers are there.
Right, and I think, and again, we tend to look at this because we're here in Sacramento. We tend to look at it, I think, through purple-colored glasses a little bit, where we focus heavily on the, like, hey, here's all the upside to this. Mm-hmm. And again, nobody knows. Maybe they win a title. Maybe it's a disaster. TBD. That's why sports are fun. But we're looking at it through this optimistic lens.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, here's what could go right, and then this and this, and oh, man, it frees up De'Aaron, and oh, my God, look at this. But conversely, it feels like a lot of the coverage of the deal has been like, classic Sacramento, who's going to play defense, next thing. And that's frustrating. And that's why more and more, mm-hmm. I see that angle of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair. I think if you're going to look super optimistic, I think, okay, hey, here's the pros, here's the cons. Like, that's fine. That's fair. That's just how you analyze things in life. But the more I read stuff where it's just like, but just kind of like a hand wave, I get like indignant about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're with us now. You're with us.
Boy.
Now, it's kind of like with the defense thing, I don't think it's just a matter of like them talking like the cons of it, but it's more so like, to me, that's like you picking out of a hat, oh yeah, defense is going to stink. Like, no, like maybe talk about the fit, like actual things that, like actual cons. I don't think the defense, like, I don't think that's an actual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like where it's going to take this massive step back where it's like, what are they going to do? It's like, if anything, it's the same or it's going to get a little bit better.
Look, if this was the... let's just do this. If Keegan Murray hadn't taken the leap he did defensively last year, and he was just kind of a average to below average defender,
mm-hmm.
and if De'Aaron Fox was Trae Young defensively, and if Keon Ellis was just an undrafted two-way guy, then sure, let's talk about their defense, and let's talk about how that might hold them up. Fair. Totally fair. But like you said, I think that's a perfectly fine critique of the Kings just kind of in general. Like, can they play enough defense against the best teams to win multiple playoff series? Yeah. Fine. Cool. Let's talk about it. I don't even hate that. But there are so many things that the DeMar DeRozan trade is going to help the Kings with, especially not only insulating them from an injury to De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk or Keegan Murray or whoever, but just from a shot creation standpoint, from a crunch time standpoint, there are so many boxes that if you were making a list of issues with the Kings last year down the stretch, there are so many boxes that DeMar DeRozan just by himself checks.
Yep.
And the consistent, I don't want to say ignoring of that, but just the lack of either ignoring, I will give ignoring or just the lack of knowing has been really, really exasperating.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think like they're this way for the Portland Trail Blazers and stuff like that. Like with the Kings, like genuinely, I think they don't watch or they just don't care. Or it's like some Kings bias growing up where it's like Kings, like literally, bro. Like I think it's something like that.
Well, yeah, if you have and that again, like that makes sense. Just like mentally as a human,
mm-hmm.
that makes sense to me. Where if you're a 25-year-old, you had, when were you born if you were 25? 99?
98, 99, around there.
You basically have no recollection of the Kings ever being good.
Yeah.
You were 5, 6, whenever, the last time they went to the playoffs. So that I understand that. But again, if your job is, hey, I need to analyze this trade, and you're not doing it on the fly like Courtney Cronin on TV,
mm-hmm.
and you are basketball writer X for National Outlet
job.
Y, then deep dive a little. I don't need a full breakdown of the Stockton Kings and the Kings 10-man rotation. But let's do.
We talk sports for a living, bro. Go watch the game. Go watch the game one time.
Watch a game. Look up. You can even just look up stats. Go like, hey, where were they in defensive rating last year? Oh, about middle of the pack. All right, let's see. Pre-All-Star break, defense went up post-All-Star break. Let me see what they did. Like, that's easy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, I write about the Dodgers, okay?
Yeah.
I have to write about teams like the Phillies and the Brewers and the Rangers. These are all teams that, it's like, dude, it's not that hard to go to Fangraphs.com or BaseballReference.com and learn a little bit about the opponent in 5 minutes.
All effort, man.
It's not even effort.
Yeah, maybe give them too much credit.
Dude, I learned everything I needed to know about the freaking Kansas City Royals in a day's worth of poops.
It's a big day.
Like, come on. I guess just...
Get it together, NBA writers. If Kyle can do it, you can do it.
It's not that... It's just not that difficult.
Yeah, it's really not.
All right. That's Jesse. I'm Kyle. James Hamm. Out today, possibly back tomorrow. We are the producers filling in on the insiders, but still sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 Sacramento's Sports Leader. We'll be back in a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.